Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback Jeff Hostetler from the New York Giants. He also played a little bit with the Raiders and finished out his career with Washington, 15 years in the NFL. Jeff Hostetler's got a really great initiative that he's a part of right now called QB United, and we're going to tell you all about it, including a really powerful story about his faith in the Lord. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, want to say thank you to our partners today, the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University's Truett Seminary. It's a place where Christian leaders in sports are formed and equipped through theological education, practical training, and of course, useful resources. Listen, if you're a sports ministry leader, maybe you're a coach or an athlete or a pastor or even a student who wants to learn more, you can apply for admission in an online or residential graduate degree program. And you can participate in character and leadership practicums and take continuing education certificate classes. I'm telling you, the Truett Seminary Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University is the real deal. You can start your journey right now at baylor.edu/truett/FSI. That's the website to go to, baylor.edu/truett/FSI. Think deep, lead strong, and run the race well with the Faith and Sports Institute at Baylor University today. We're also presented today by our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportspectrum.com right now and subscribe as you're thinking about a gift for someone that you love, someone that loves sports. There's so many sports fans out there. Maybe it's someone who loves Jesus as well. You can intersect those two and get them the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum. It's got Kirk Cousins on the cover, our new football edition, featuring stories with Brock Purdy from the 49ers, as well as Benjamin Watson, the longtime NFL tight end. It's got faith-filled, family-friendly content. It's hard to find that in a sports periodical today. So consider subscribing to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You go to sportspectrum.com, and we'll give you 15% off right now for a one-year subscription if you use the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15, and when you check out, when you go to sportspectrum.com, click the magazine icon, and you check out, you use that code PODCAST15, you can save 15% off a one-year subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine. So check it out, sportspectrum.com. He is Jeff Hostetler, Super Bowl champion, longtime NFL quarterback. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to talk to you. We're going to talk football. We're always going to talk faith on this show. But I want to start with QB United and that initiative that you're a part of. I think almost every big name quarterback that I could see from yesterday and today, and even some that maybe not the biggest names, I saw my childhood quarterback hero was Danny White. And I saw Danny White in this video, and it's really awesome to see what you guys are doing. Can you share about what it is and the important work that it's doing?
Well, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I'm really fortunate. I've been really blessed, and I played in the NFL for 15 years at the quarterback position. And as you go along, you watch other guys, and you watch what they do, and you appreciate their talents, their way they handle themselves on the field, but you also appreciate them off the field. And I found out through starting this Quarterback United that I'm one of only 30 guys alive that has started and won a Super Bowl as a quarterback. And wow, that's a small group. Yeah. And I always felt like, man, I watch these guys off the field and they do some amazing things. They're in their communities. They've got their own foundations. They do some great things. But how powerful would it be to be part of this group and join together for a common cause? These are leaders of men. They've led their teams. They've done some great things on the field, but we could do some great things off the field as a team, as a unit, united with one voice. And so this project started as an idea. You know, I was approached by my nephew. If I could start a business, what would it be? And I've been so blessed that I've always wanted to try to give back. And try to figure out how do we do that? And what if we had all these quarterbacks join together and unite and help others to walk alongside us and do something that's non-controversial, something that everybody can rally around, something that's really affecting our nation, our world. We came up with suicide prevention, because every time you turn around, every time you look on the internet, every time you hear the news, read the paper, someone has died from suicide. And so we wanted to try to attack suicide, and it's every 40 seconds. Every 40 seconds, someone dies from suicide. You know, and you put that in football terms, that's in between plays, someone has died from suicide.
Yeah.
If you take a guy away from the field every 40 seconds during a game, you can't make it to halftime. And so you start putting those numbers in perspective, and it's devastating, it's tragic, and it's something that we can do and make a difference and change. And so, you know, we started Quarterback United, QB United, and it was a process of trying to get a hold of guys, which is that's the most difficult thing to try to attempt to do. Never yeah. before has there been 57 quarterbacks all come together for one unified cause, and awful proud of that. But obviously that's way bigger than me. This was a God thing. I mean, door after door after door opened, and I'm just amazed to sit here to, number one, be able to contact as many quarterbacks as I was able to reach. Number two, to have them actually listen to what the vision was, to understand that what we were trying to do is just unify together with a short video and do something positive, bring awareness. And then number three, to actually get them to do it, which, you know, when you look at all those things together, that's a pretty steep mountain to climb. And here I am, you know, 57 videos later, covering seven decades of quarterbacks. You know, this is nothing but a God thing, and just been really blessed to be part of it.
Yeah. When did you come up, when I say come up with the idea, but when did it start to formulate? Was it just this pretty recently, like this summer, or was it something over the last couple of years?
Well, the idea started to come together in February and March, and in April we decided that this was what we wanted to attack, and started doing some educational things there with some really, really good people. The organization Stay Here and Jacob Coyne helped educate me as to the verbiage to use, the statistics behind it, the ways that we can help, the things that we can do to change it. And it's at that point we started to formulate this plan. And what we wanted to try to do is really bring awareness to it. And our goal was to try to reach 40 quarterbacks to all do a short little video, put them all together, and have a project called 40 for 40. Basically, every 40 seconds, you know, we were going to try to attack that with 40 quarterbacks putting together a video to help reach millions and millions so that we could bring awareness to it. And our goal was to do that through social media platforms, through influencers that we had connections with. And so, you know, this is a big project. There's an engine behind an engine behind an engine. There's lots of people that have been involved with this that have committed to it because they know they want to change the statistic. And I think for me, you know, the mental health part of it has always been there. You know, I've struggled growing up with confidence and things like that. And then when you play in the NFL, you know, you're always judged by your performance. And that's a tough thing to be judged by, because you're never going to be at the top of your game all the time. And so if you're only as good as your last play or your last game, and that's how you judge your self-worth, that's a battle. And that was a battle that I faced for a long, long time. And, you know, being part of this, being a part of being able to bring awareness to mental health and suicide prevention just became, you know, something that welled up in my heart and felt like, man, this is what we can do, and we can make a difference. And, you know, you realized as I was going that it's a lot closer to home than any of us know. And lots of times we don't find out until it's too late. And so, you know, our goal here is to change that.
Yeah, it was awesome to see the video. It was opening day of the NFL season a few weeks ago when we saw that it was 40-second video, right? Obviously, the timing was intentional too, to get the statistics out and the awareness out of what you were hoping to accomplish, obviously. And then the names and the, you know, there's a lot of influence when you start putting Super Bowls and quarterbacks and the teams that they played for. And there's a few maybe that people didn't recognize. I recognized them all as a kid who grew up in the 80s. So I'm 50 now. And I said, oh, I know who that is. I recognize Danny White. I see Jeff Rutledge. I see Jeff Hostetler. But obviously a lot of the new guys as well that are in the league. What was the other side of that, right? So you work all spring and all summer and you put this video together, and I trust me on this. I know how hard it is to reach people and get them all to do something. It's very difficult, whether it's ministry or media. But now what, right? The video's out. I know you were at MetLife Stadium, I think Monday or Sunday night, Giants, Cowboys. What didn't end well for the Giants, but you and Phil Sims were out there and Eli kind of just bringing awareness, and I saw a big check involved. So what's the other side of this now that video has shown and you continue to want to bring awareness with QB United?
Well, our hope is always QB United, the desire there is to magnify the voice, to magnify the voice of each of these quarterbacks, but also to lead, to collaborate with others, to bring all those different groups together so that we can attack this one singular cause. You know, we live in such a divisive world right now, and everything's concentrating on all of our differences. And what we wanted to do here was concentrate on the things that unite us. And our goal here is to bring a voice to those that have been voiceless, that have been in such despair that suicide was their only way out. And that's a devastating place to be. And it's something that we all can make a difference in. We can have an impact of it. And so, you know, our goal was to reach 250 million people through social media platforms. We are just under 200 million here, 9 days out.
Wow.
Our projections are now that we're going to blow that 250 million out of the water in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We will probably be pressing 400 million people. And that's an awesome thing. To get the exposure and things like that out. But then we want to put some meat behind it. And the meat behind it is the fundraising part, to bring awareness, to be able to get funds back into to the hands of those professionals that can make a difference. And, you know, QB United, part of what we wanted to try to attempt there is it's a 501c3, it's a charitable organization. And we want to attack these big causes, but we also want to magnify the voices of each quarterback and their foundations or their communities. Hmm. So we want to spread this back into each of their local communities so that we can have that impact. It's going to be far reaching. We want it to spread out and tentacle out so that the impact that we have covers this wide, wide area, and that each of our quarterbacks, you know, they're helping each other by participating in this, and they're doing so much more than what they could do individually. And as leaders, you know, our hope is that we can have others walk alongside us, and other organizations, other professional athletes, defensive linemen walking alongside with quarterbacks. You know, what a combination.
Yeah.
And that's out there. That's going to happen. You know, our goal too is, how about country music? I want Dolly Parton to be in collaboration with us, along with other country music artists, so that we can attack this devastating, devastating issue that's facing so many of our young people. It's a devastating phenomena that's going on with our millennials and Gen Zs.
Yeah.
But as you look at it, it's crossing all demographics. So, you know, our goal is to, again, lead, collaborate, spread out, and attack this. We can do better. We can change the direction of every 40 seconds.
I love that mindset. Yeah, I mean, I can think of pastors that I know who've unfortunately taken their own life. I can think of college coaches that I recently talked to whose children took their life, and you're just devastated for them. It's horrible. It's awful. But there is awareness that can be made, and 400 million people is just incredible, Jeff. QBUnited.org is the website. I'll mention it again multiple times, especially towards the end of our conversation. QBUnited.org. You can find information. You can donate. You can support. You can even, if you're struggling with this, with mental health or mental illness or even suicidal thoughts, there's places on that website that we can direct you to that can help you and not leave you alone in this fight. So we appreciate what you're doing, Jeff. This is awesome. We are talking to Jeff Hostetler here on Sports Spectrum. So many of you, so many people listening would remember you from playing football. What I did not know a lot about was your faith. And you've talked about it being a God thing just with QB United. This is what we do. We're sports, but we're also Jesus. And I would love to just know about your faith a little bit and the importance of Christ in your life.
Well, I grew up in a really strong Christian family. I've one of seven kids, and I grew up on a farm with 18,000 chickens and dairy cows, had lots of chores, lots of work to do before school, after practice.
Yeah.
But the one thing that always kept us together was our faith. And for me, sports was, I think, a part of my faith that strengthened my faith, because as you play, you're going to have ups and downs. There's all kinds of things that you face and learn that make it difficult. It's really a difficult thing to be successful at, because as you go, even when you really, really work hard, sometimes you don't get the outcome that you want. And a lot of times that comes back to you as to, that's your self-worth. And I remember my mom used to always tell each one of our kids, us kids, that as we left the house, remember who you are and whose you are. And it used to drive me crazy, because I knew what she meant. I knew what the purpose of that was. And, you know, the who you are, and this goes back into the suicide prevention project and things like that. It's the who you are is, you know, how you grew up, the people that surround you, the character that you have, the things that you have actually accomplished. And when you start looking at all those things, lots of times they aren't all of what you wanted them to be. And sometimes the world looks at those as maybe those are failures, or you're not good enough, or you're defective here, or you haven't attained this, and so therefore you're not successful. And those are the things, you know, that kind of make you who you are. And to always remember those, where you've come from and the people that surround you, so that you have, you know, someone to fall back to rally around when times get tough. But it was the whose you are that was always the kicker for me, because I had to walk out of the house knowing that God was going to be watching me the whole time, because the whose you are was, I'm his. You know, I am blessed to have a God that absolutely loves me, that made me with all the defects, with all the imperfections, with all the shortcomings that the world sees, but he made me me, and he made me for a reason. He has a plan for me. And knowing that has given me so much strength to be able to make it through some of the toughest times that I've faced through my sports career and through my family life. I have three sons, and I almost lost all three at different times. My oldest was less than 24 hours old when we almost lost him at childbirth. He had his first heart surgery, second one at about 2 weeks. Third surgery was at 5 months. Fourth surgery was at 11 months. Wow. I'm 24. My wife's 23. It tested my faith, my belief in prayer, because I knew that all I needed was the faith of a mustard seed and I could move mountains. And yet, I couldn't move this mountain, and I had to just give that to God. And it was a tough time for me for quite a while, knowing that I grew up in this belief, in this belief system, and in a strong Christian family and a strong faith. And yet I think I don't know whether I believe the power of prayer is there. I don't understand that, because I'm asking for this and it's, you're not hearing me. You're not answering me. And it was a tough time for me, but 7 years later, I'm sitting in a hospital room, just having gone through tests with Jason. He had tests done every 6 months, and the doctor comes in and he looks at me and he said, Jason's doing really well. He said, you know, if Jason were in a room with 100 other kids with the same defect and 100 doctors came in, he said, every one of those doctors would look at Jason and say, what's he doing here? And the doctor looked straight at me, and he just said, you know, he's a miracle.
Wow.
And hit me straight in the forehead. You know, here I am. He's 38 right now. Mm-hmm. And it still brings emotion to me, because I still feel that. I still realize that God had me the whole time. You know, it's not my timing. It was his timing. And, you know, I failed in maintaining my belief in prayer, but he never failed. He never failed. And in his timing, he showed me. And that helped prepare me for my career in football. And it helped me to prepare for my second child, where we almost lost at childbirth and emergency C-section. And then my youngest was 8 years old and was in an ATV accident at a friend's house that we didn't know they had one. And they were riding it and flipped, broke his neck. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Wow. And he would walk in here today and you would never know. We've experienced miracles in our life, and we've experienced the greatness of God. I've experienced the lows, the lowest of lows. And yet I've always, even when I haven't felt his presence, I know his presence is there, and that he will use these circumstances for his good. And it's in my life, you know, just as I think Mordecai told Esther, you know, maybe you've been made for a time just as this.
Yeah.
And I look back at my career. I look back at my family, and I see God written all over it. And he's prepared me for a lot of things. And without those, I wouldn't probably be here having the discussion today.
Wow. That's a lot, Jeff. I'm so glad you shared all of that. It makes me think about, you know, I put a couple questions on here about what was it like to play in Super Bowl 25 and those moments that you're asked probably all the time from people. And yet when I hear you just tell me what you've just told me, it feels really petty to ask you about, yeah, oh, the first 4 years that you were in the NFL, first 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even six, you didn't play. And it's like, oh, right. Well, wasn't that a tough time for you, Jeff, as a football player? And then I hear you just share what you shared, and I'm thinking, should I even ask that question to you, Jeff Hostetler?
Yeah. And you know what? It was piggybacked on my family. And so it was a double whammy. It was a tough time. You know, you think about it from an athlete's perspective. You come out of college and you're the guy, and you come in, and then I sat for almost 7 years, yeah, 6.5 years waiting for an opportunity, 6.5 years. You have any idea what you were doing 6.5 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and I think about that time, and your self-worth is based on what you're doing, and the battle, the mental battle of who am I and why am I here and what am I worth? And basing that on what I was doing, I was in trouble. But, you know, my family, my faith, and the belief that God had me there for a purpose. And that I had to be patient. I had to persevere. I had to learn things. And I've learned things through those times that I never could have learned any other way. And I'm so thankful for those. I wouldn't change it for anything. And just a quick, you know, 6.5 years, I come home on a Wednesday night after practice. It's the 1990 season, and I had played in a game or two early on, played really, really well, but didn't see any playing time. And I came home after 6.5 years of waiting and just told my wife, babe, I'm done. I'm done. End of the year. I'm calling it quits. We're going back home, and I'll figure something else to do.
Wow.
And made the decision. Seven weeks later, I'm standing at a podium with two of my boys and my pregnant wife, having just won the Super Bowl. You know, that's a God thing. That's God's timing. That's persevering and staying ready for what God has for you. And it's prepared me for today. I mean, when we did this QB United, I mean, there was silence at times when I got so disheartened and discouraged. The first 48 hours after making probably 10 to 15 texts to guys that I had 25-year-old numbers. So I'm trying to reach out, and, you know, it's, yes, failure after failure. And then when you do reach out, there's silence and you hear nothing. And I'm thinking, well, I thought, God, this is really the direction you wanted me to go. And it's 48 hours. And I mean, I was pretty low, and I was jumping in the shower. just jumping, open the door to get in, and my phone rings, and I look down, and it's Joe Namath, and
wow,
that started the ball rolling. I mean, Joe got on the phone, and I hear him, and I'm waiting for this, hey, I'm not interested, but it wasn't. It was, hey, I did my research on you, and I like what I see. What can I do? And from there, it just started going. And there were times throughout this whole project when I just say, this is a God thing, because doors would close. And I would think that, man, I got to have this guy. He's got to be in this. And then all of a sudden, you know, God would just reveal, hey, I don't need him in here. All right. Doesn't mean that he won't be in another one.
Sure.
But I don't need him right now. And he opened up another door. And, you know, when you got guys like, you know, guys did this video. Some of the guys were in Europe and on vacation, and they did a video. I've got Tony Romo, who is alongside a freeway, jumps out. He's in the tall grass and does his video.
Wow.
You know, it's just time after time after time when these guys, Terry Bradshaw, is in his vehicle. He's got his seatbelt off. He pulls off and does a video. It's those things. The messages of encouragement from these guys when I'm asking them for something and being really nervous about invading their personal space. And, you know, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to invade, but I want them to be involved. How do I do it? And I would sit on texts for days, just afraid to press send, and then finally saying, hey, they can say yes or no, and then finally hitting it. But just hear these guys come back to me and say, wow, thanks for including me. And I'm thinking, thanks for including you. I mean, you know, you've just made my day. You've made this project. And so it was one thing after another to get to this point. And I just know, you know, God's going to open doors here and do some things that I couldn't even have dreamed of.
It sounds like he's already done that, Jeff, which yeah. is interesting to me, because I'm thinking, you're a Super Bowl winning quarterback who played 15 years in the league. I'm thinking most of these guys would take your call, but I get it. Like, I've called people who I've known for years, and this is on a much different level, to like even come on this podcast, right? And sometimes it's just people are busy. People have things going on, and you don't want to bother them. You don't want to follow up with another text because you're like, oh, now I'm being a pain in the butt. And what you're doing is so important, I think, for awareness. But like you said, you trusted God, and he's made a way here. He's done something pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just, I don't look at myself as well, you need to take my call because of what I did on the field. It right. it had nothing to do with that. I know what they're going through. I've been there. I know how busy you are. I know how many people are pulling in every direction. And so my whole goal there was one-on-one contact, whether it was a text or an email, or if I was lucky, a phone call. And just to be able to tell the story, but to have these guys trust me, that's it. That's pretty special, yeah. You know, and, you know, to be able to, take their videos and put them all together and have them trust me in the fact that this at the end is something that you're going to be really proud of being part of. That's a big deal. And so there was a lot of weight, being carried there. And I just had to continue to say, hey, God, I know that you've got this for me here. And I know this plan. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to protect their contacts. I'm going to protect them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you take it from there. And it's been obvious. He's opened up a lot of doors.
I told you, and I told the listeners, I would mention the website again, qbunited.org, qbunited.org with Jeff Hostetler. Just a couple more questions I want to ask you. I think people would yell at me if I didn't ask you about Super Bowl 25, but I want to ask it in a different way. Obviously, your whole experience of being in the Super Bowl, like you said, 7 weeks later after thinking you might be done playing, was a God moment. But what was your favorite, if I can ask it this way, God moment from that Super Bowl 25 experience, like whether it was right before the game, during the game, after the game, and I'll let you kind of interpret what I'm asking when I say God moment, but yeah, can you share yeah. one for us?
Well, I think number one, was standing in the tunnel waiting to be introduced and having to the opportunity to run out onto that field after 7 years was phenomenal. To see everybody, that was the Gulf War, high security.
Yeah.
Everybody had a American flag.
Yep.
It was phenomenal to run out and then hear Whitney Houston sing the Star Spangled Banner, and then to watch the flyover was amazing. It was like, wow, I can't believe I'm here, but I know I have a job to do. God, you put me here. And through the game, halfway through the game, there was a big sack. I got hit, and I don't remember it at the time. I sort of remember bits and pieces of it, but I got hit. So on the sideline, they were giving me smelling salts. And the only thing I remember about that was they told me to breathe deep, and I did, and it didn't have any impact. And I can remember seeing the doctor's eyes roll and thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong here. And then next thing you know, boom, I was back out. But the God moment for me was, I think, at the very end when Scott Norwood came out to attempt a 47-yard field goal. And I kneeled down at the very end of the field away from everybody. And my goal was, I just wanted to watch. God had put me here, and he'd given me the opportunity to give everything I could out onto the field. And that, my hope was that I could just watch no matter what the outcome and be thankful for the opportunity that God had given me. And I can still see hear the thump of the ball. And I kneeled there the whole time and watched, went wide right, and I watched everybody go celebrate and sat there and just thank God just for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, obviously winning is amazing, but it was the opportunity to be there and for God to use me and show me that a lot of these things are his timing and not mine.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I was a high school senior watching that game. I was entrenched in sports, obviously, my high school year at 17 years old, and I'll never, ever, ever forget that game, watching it live in Ravenna, New York, where I grew up, about 2 hours north of Giants Stadium in upstate New York near the Albany area. So I'll never forget watching that game, Jeff. How do you think, here's my last question, how do you think Jeff Hostetler would fare in today's game? I feel like you'd do pretty well because you were kind of a scrambler, a guy that could run a little bit. How do you think Jeff Hostetler, because today's game is just so different than what it was in 1990, that year you guys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think every older quarterback would say, oh, I would thrive in today's game, and so these guys are such great athletes. They're doing some amazing things. The offenses, surrounding them give them all kinds of flexibility. I was very, very athletic. I would have loved to have played in today's game and to be able to use those tools that were in my toolbox.
Yeah.
But it was a different time, and actually most of my career was played without free agency. So we didn't have the opportunity to move and go to a place where maybe you could showcase some of those things. But again, I go back to the fact that I wouldn't change anything because God's got me where I am right now. And it's because of the things that I've gone through, the experiences that I've had, the successes I've had and the failures that I've had that I'm here. And, I wouldn't trade it.
No, that's awesome. He is Jeff Hostetler, Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion. People forget you were on the 86 team. You just didn't play hardly at all. Were you on special teams? Did I read somewhere that you actually blocked a kick on special teams? I'm sorry to digress here before we say goodbye.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, that can't be right.
Yeah, I might be the only Super Bowl quarterback that won a Super Bowl ran the ball, caught a pass, and blocked a punt before I ever threw one in the NFL. So I tried everything I could to get out onto the field. I wanted to be, again, part of that team.
Yeah.
And anything that you could do to help was I was willing to go ahead and try it and offer my services because that's what teams do. That's what everybody does. They all try to rally around to reach a common goal. And so it's been a good learning experience.
Which is the perfect segue to QBUnited.org as these quarterbacks are rallying around for this amazing cause to bring awareness to mental health, suicide awareness, and just good stuff that you're doing, Jeff. Really appreciate you, man. Thanks for sharing your story. QBUnited.org again is the website. And we appreciate you, Jeff Hostetler, for being here on Sports Spectrum. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate you being willing to listen to me and having me here.
And many thanks to Jeff Hostetler, Super Bowl champion, 1994 NFL Pro Bowl selection as well. 15 seasons in the NFL with the Giants, the Raiders, and the last couple seasons with Washington. Started Super Bowl 25 in January of 1991 and helped defeat the Buffalo Bills 20-19, giving the Giants a Super Bowl title. He said, one of only 30 guys alive that have started a Super Bowl and won. That's really crazy when you think about it. Only 30 guys that are still alive that have started a Super Bowl and won. What a club. So QB United is another area I want you to go to, QBUnited.org. We've talked about it. And what he's doing with that is so important, bringing awareness to suicide, to mental health. It's such a difficult topic, I think, to talk about, but it's such an important one because mental health awareness, mental illness, that's a real thing that so many of us have walked through. I walked through some mental health struggles this past summer. So I love what this is all about. QBUnited.org is, again, the website. Go there, check it out, and learn more and support it. And again, if you are struggling with mental health, with suicide tendencies, or you know somebody that has, if you go to QBUnited.org, they got resources and places you can call and go to right there on the website. QBUnited.org. And again, thanks to Jeff Hostetler for joining us, sharing some wonderful stories here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. We thank you as well for tuning in and supporting what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum, because ultimately what we're doing is trying to point people to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to be an ambassador for Christ. We want you to be an ambassador for Christ. We're just using the tool of sports to be able to do that. So check out sportsspectrum.com, our website. There's great resources and articles and podcasts and things that you can share with other people that might get them interested, or even just pique their interest, maybe plant a seed to learn more about Christ in so many of these athletes and coaches' lives. And again, thank you for listening to our Jeff Hostetler interview today. We hope you'll join us next time for another conversation here on Sports Spectrum. We are the intersection of sports and faith, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the show.